Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are such a good, good God. And we take this moment to just express from the depths of our being our deep gratitude and thanks. For Lord, you've not only done what man can do for us, you've done what no man can do. You are our source, our protector. You shield us from the gaze of the enemy and from the onslaught of the agents and the systems and agencies of darkness. Your grace has been sufficient when men have disappointed and failed and betrayed us. You've been the steadfast one who's upheld us with your right hand of righteousness, assuring us again and again that it is well. Thank you, Lord. We position ourselves once again to receive your word, to receive the word that cleanses us, the word that heals us, the word that saves us, the word that provides for us, the word that creates new experiences for us. We receive that word. Let your word do all it does in us, with us, through us, by us, and for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you this evening. And tonight we are just going to explore a particular passage of scripture found in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. John 13. The Word of God says here, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. What a remarkable statement. Firstly, Jesus knew that his hour to depart was nigh. He knew. He had a sense. The time for me to fulfill my real purpose, my final purpose, is here. And I'm going to do it. And then it makes this statement, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Why was this necessary, this particular statement? Because he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to go praying. And he's going to come back to his disciples and says, can't you tarry with me just for 1 hour? And it's at the time of his highest need of support. The support was not there for him. He'd invested so much into these people. And when it was time for him to get something out of them, they were not there for him. It's a challenging time. It's a time when you say, forget you guys. The Bible says he loved them. Amen? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This is in reference to Judas. Judas was his treasurer. He carried the money bag. And Judas is going to betray him. One of his own. But he's going to love them unto the end. In fact, when Judas came to the garden, he said to him, "My friend." He knew the kiss of Judas was going to be the kiss of death. But he said, "My friend." God calls us to love to the end. Even when people betray us. If you've not been betrayed before, then you've not done much. If you have lived, you're going to have people who betray you. It's just the way it is. And it becomes a betrayal because there are people that you've made yourself vulnerable to. You love them enough to show them everything. Now they know your ins and outs. Now they have something they can use, twist, to betray you. Jesus was with his disciples and had been amongst the people for the longest time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they've been in close proximity with him. They should know who he is. But for whatever reason, they needed an inside job, somebody. And for that one to identify Jesus. Identify him. Well, the word of God continues. It says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." The devil was engaged in this. Put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. So Judas didn't come up with this plan. The devil did. How is the devil able to do that? The devil is able to do that because there was no complete, total love for Jesus. There were ifs and buts. And it was not just if and buts with Judas, it was if and buts with Peter. That's why both of them become the main players in what is going on here. You cannot love God partially. Let me say that again. You cannot love God partially. You cannot love God with ifs and buts. You've got to love God, period. May I state that again? You've got to love God, what? Period. Because if you don't, you are a conduit that the enemy can dump his thoughts and ideas into. And you become an agent of Satan, thinking that you're doing God a service. Got to love completely. Your love for God has to be radical. No ifs and buts. In the good days, the bad days, the ugly days, every day, no matter what, I love God. And I will worship him. I will serve him. I will magnify him. I will live my life for him. No matter what happens, That has to be a resolute fact in all of our lives, or you will betray the Lord. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed. But when you are resolute in your love for God, and a gun is pointed at you, you say, if I die, I die. But I will not deny Jesus. I don't care. I love God. That's it. And there may be some of us that might face that kind of a situation at some point. Maybe it's not a gun at your head. Maybe if you don't deny Jesus, you're fired. You got to do it this way. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do when your faith is not sold out to God, knowing that He takes care of the raven and takes care of the grass in the field? You are going to compromise yourself. I have a family to take care of. You're the one taking care of it. God is not able. If you don't take this mark, you can't work. You can't do anything. Let me suggest to you part of the way that is going to happen. This is not all of it. We have artificial intelligence being put in place right now. It's getting better and better. And the net result is that a lot of people are going to be out of work. And the government, recognizing that, will want to supplement the income of people so that they can continue to live. There comes a time when capitalism, as we know it, is not going to function like it should. And socialist ideas of providing for the masses becomes the deal. At that point, you are going to be asked to have an identification mark so that you can. Somebody listening? So that you can go and buy stuff, buy food, sell whatever it is that you want to sell, whatever else. And if you don't have the mark, you don't get to eat. At that point, what? When the Word of God says, if you take the mark, your goose is cooked, what are you going to do then? Are you going to settle for the temporal? Or if I die, I die. One life to live. Well, I trust God. I've exercised my faith in God, and I believe God is my source, my provider. I've been growing. God has been growing me in faith. Therefore, whatever it is that I have in that fridge, it's going to stay fresh, and I'm going to cook and have food to eat. Why? Because I know about a woman called the widow of Zarephath. Her oil did not stop. Her bread and her flour did not stop. That's God then is the same God now. And I dare believe Him now. But you've not believed God. You've not believed God when you had resources available to you. You don't believe God then. That's when you're going to believe God? When you've not grown in your faith? God has given you opportunities to trust Him, but you've not exercised it? God gave you opportunities to give, And, oh, I don't have anything to give, because if I give this, I won't have enough for that and for that. And I have this and I have that. And you don't learn to trust God. You're going to trust God then? That's how it's going to work? Overnight? I think not. God grows you and I every day and gives us opportunity to trust Him. Every day. He gives you and I opportunities to trust Him. He's doing something. He's helping you to have treasures. Have bags that will not wax old. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You've not invested in Him and in His purposes. Now you're going to start? You know, they're not so much here in Canada, but primarily in the States. They have all these packages of food that you can buy that will last for 25 years. And they encourage people to buy it so that when there's trouble, at least you have food. If there is a hurricane, you'll still have food and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. All good ideas, excellent ideas. Until the storm comes and your barrels are floating away. It will still last for 25 years, but it floated away. You can't place your faith in what man does. It seems smart and responsible, but the greatest level of responsibility is trusting God. That is a God who multiplies your seed. He's a God who multiplies your food. He's a God, if you just eat just a little bit, you are full. And He keeps whatever it is that you have going. That same God who helped me drive my old, I think it was Galaxy 300, Chrysler Galaxy 300 or something like that. I've forgotten what that thing was. No, Newport Chrysler. That's what the car was. Huge engine. Drove it empty, on empty for a whole week. On empty. That same God who helped me then, as He was raising me up, is the same God who helped me whenever. The same God who's been filling my freezer. That same God is the same one who will do it then. I don't know how God does what He does, but I do know He does. And He has to bring you and I to the place where we absolutely love Him. Period. To the end. Jesus knew that His time was coming for Him to fulfill His purpose and assignment. And He loved His own to the end. Verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God. He, knowing that, He riseth from supper, laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. Well, let's look at verse 3 closely. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. What does that statement mean? Yes, it means God has given everything to Him. But it also primarily means this, that God had given him the responsibility to handle the issue at hand. I'm trusting you with this. What? What is it? I'm trusting you with the people of the world to save them. I'm trusting you to die for them. This is the job that you got to do. It's going to cost you something, but this is a job you got to do. He knew that the Father had given all things, the responsibility to him. But he also knew that God had given him everything that is. He says here, knowing that, he also knew this, and that he was come from God and went to God. This is fundamental, because these are the factors that bring us to a place of service. Until you and I understand that God has given us the responsibility to take care of his church, we're always thinking somebody else is going to do it. So-and-so is going to do it, and that person is going to do it, and that person is going to do it. We are always pushing the buck to somebody else. But when you understand, God has given me this responsibility. I came from him. I'm going back to him. I came from him for this purpose, and I'm going to return back to him to give report of what I have done with what he gave to me. We will never serve out of a pure heart. We will never love completely. We've got to come to that place where we recognize that all things have been given to us. Come to church. Oh, the rich folks, they will give the donation. By so stating, you just said that you're poor. Or the people that don't have lots of responsibility, they don't have children, you know, that they're going to take for sporting games and this and that, you know, they can afford to do it. You just said that you cannot afford to do anything. Why did God place you there? When you understand, I'm part of this. This is part of my responsibility. You put it as part of what you are called to do. You don't pass it to somebody else. No, this is my responsibility. And someday I'm going to stand before my Father and I'm going to say, I did my part. I did what I'm supposed to do. Jesus knew. And it's at the end of his life here, and the Word of God is giving us clear principles on how he carried himself and why he carried himself that way. He took responsibility. And I am going to give an account. You know, the Word of God says, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Unto me. He didn't say, you're going to be witnesses for me. He says, you are going to be witnesses unto me. You're going to give back a report. Every one of us will give a daily account, a report. What kind of a report am I going to give when I present myself before the Lord? When this day is over, what is God going to say about my service? The Bible says, Jesus, knowing who he was, knowing his responsibility, that all things had been put into his hands, knowing that he came from God and went to God, rose. Question I must ask myself, that you must ask yourself, is this: do you know that you came from God and you're going back to God? Do you know that God gave birth to you, that you birth of God? and that you're going to return back to him? Is that something that you are aware of, or something that you've pushed aside? And by so doing, not recognizing that you have responsibilities. We need to understand that responsibility comes from this very fact that we came from God. Because responsibility is about, if you break that word responsibility up, you have two things: responsibility. In other words, you have the ability to respond because you came from God. I have the capacity to respond. Many times, Mama might come to me and say, I need such and such for such and such a project. I look at myself. I don't know I'm going to do it. I'm going to help. But it will not be a responsible thing not to help. So I go to the Lord and say, God, you saw this before I got here. Help me to have the ability to respond. Can I have such and such? When I have it, I'll give it to you. I don't have it right now, but when I have it, I'll give it to you. The ability to respond ultimately comes into play. And you're able to do what is needful. And the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing here. The Bible says he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Why? He knew who he was. You cannot serve anybody if you don't know who you are. He's taken the role of a servant. But a servant who knew who he was, that he came from God and was going to go back to God. A servant who knew who he was because he knew that he created everything that is. I know. So me serving is not diminishing me. I'm not reduced because I served. Now, that does not mean that we disrespect leaders. You know, obviously, Jesus is the one who's riding on the donkey. Did he not ride on the donkey? And people were throwing their clothes and stuff like that. He did not say, hey, hey, guys, stop throwing those things around. Keep your clothes. I'm Jesus, humble Jesus. When it was time for him to do things in a particular way, he knew that. And when he was ready to serve and go to the lowest level, he knew that. And he knew that whether he was riding or he was kneeling to serve, that it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not what defines me. What defines me is me serving the purposes of God and loving to the end. That's what matters. And that's what must matter to every one of us. Loving to the end. Loving to the end means that you're loving in spite of the challenges. It's a challenge when you see a Judas who's going to betray you. It's a challenge when you see a Peter who's going to deny and say, I don't know him, I swear. I swear, I don't know that guy. Stop messing with me. To love to the end. Do you love when you know somebody's it's going to deal a wrong hand, a bad hand your way? You saw it. even before they knew they were going to do it. And you just love them anyway. Bless you. That's where Jesus was. He knew Satan had put evil in the heart of Judas, but he was loving to the end. And he's going to serve them. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin. He's doing all of that. He's not asking anybody. He's doing it all of this by himself. The guys are still sitting there watching. What is he doing? And he's grabbing a basin. He's grabbing water. And he says, the first one, give me your feet. Why? Just give it to me. He starts washing that one's feet. Washing it. And I can see the others saying, what is he doing? And he goes to the next one and he's washing his feet. And he goes to the next one, he's washing his feet. And he comes to Peter and Peter says, hey, hold it. Hold it. You know he's in his heart, he's busy judging the others for allowing themselves to be, their feet to be washed by Jesus. He's already making judgmental statements about those ones. He comes to Simon Peter and Peter says unto him, Lord, does thou wash my feet? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to wash my feet? Are you really trying to wash my feet? Jesus says to him, what I do right now, you don't understand, but you're going to understand afterwards. Peter says to him, I don't care about that. Thou shalt never wash my feet. You will never. Do you understand me? You will never wash my feet. I don't care what I'm going to understand later. You're not washing my feet. You are not washing my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You don't have any part of me if I don't wash your feet. Peter says, not my feet only. I got a head and I got hands too. Wash everything. From one extreme to the other. You will never. Not just my head, not just my feet, my hands and my head. Wash me, all of it. What triggered him to say that? Jesus said to him, if I don't wash you, you're not going to be part of me. That says a lot about Peter. Belligerent as he was, he still loved Jesus so much that he was not about to let go. But because he started out with never, he's going to betray the Lord. That's why we must never give any spot to the enemy to occupy. As soon as you find yourself in the wrong place, saying the wrong thing, repent of it. Take back your peace on that matter. Because if you don't, the enemy has a place that he's occupied already and he's going to use that new place as his launching pad to push on you until he gets you out completely. So Jesus, the Lord says, I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needed not to save needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith. And ye are clean, but not all. You're all clean, but not everybody. That gives me a sense that the last person that Jesus actually went to wash was Peter. It was the last one. So Jesus says, all you need is for your feet to be washed, and you'll be okay. That's all. What does that feet represent? The feet represents that which you walk with. And as you walk through life, there are challenges. At times you might step on the wrong place, and you need cleansing. You need cleansing. And daily, as we walk before the Lord, it's important to just allow the Word of God to wash us. John 15 and verse 3 says that you are clean by the words I've spoken unto you. You're clean by the Word. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. When you hear the Word of God, cleansing is taking place. What cleansing? The cleansing that comes about because your mind is getting renewed. God points out particular things to you and says, correct this. Tonight, I was putting something on the envelope. I'd put the minimum amount that I'll give. And the Lord says, I want a little bit more from you. So I got it. And I wanted to open the envelope to put it inside. And the Lord says to me, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying to open the envelope to put the new amount inside. He said, really? That's what you want to do? You cannot just put it inside, just drop it in the plate. And what was he trying to get at? We are so used to recording whatever it is that you gave. At the end of the year, you get receipted. What if there are no more room for receipts? The government doesn't give you a write-off. What will your giving then be? Hello? Is it still going to be the same? Or are you going to reduce it? The Lalonde brothers found that particular thing. When I say Lalonde brothers, you won't know who I'm talking about. These guys were Canadians that had a ministry that addressed prophetic things, you know, end time stuff. And the government went after them and pulled their ability to write out tax receipts. And as soon as that happened, everybody that gave to them stopped giving because they're not going to get any more tax receipts. And that's how that ministry died in Canada. They tried to go to the States and they just dissipated. Just like that. That said a lot, because the people that were supporting them were not totally sold out to supporting them. Because if they were totally sold out and believed what those guys were teaching, then it didn't matter. I'm just going to give and support what they are doing. For well, close to 30 years, I guess, we were on television, Call to Victory. And there were people that supported because we were on Call to Victory. Not too many. Anyhow, for some years I felt that the Lord wanted me to step back from that spectrum of television. But I wasn't very clear and certain about it when. So finally, at some point, I said, okay, this is it. There were breakthroughs, there were all kinds of stuff that were happening. And lo and behold, there were some, even though we're no longer on television, who still till this day, as I'm talking to you right now, still a lot, a certain amount, to the ministry. And I saw that, I said, wow, that is commitment. I have people, there's a particular family that were here just a few weeks ago. This young man said to me about, close to 35 plus years ago. He said, as long as I live, I will support your ministry. That's some 30-something years ago. Until this day, even though they've been away from this particular stead for some 30-plus years, every month till this day, they still give. Faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. That's commitment. Through thick and thin, boom, steady. They give more than 80% of the people that give in this church, just that family. They've not attended one service, more than one service or maybe two in a year, if that. That's when they get to come to this province. When God calls us to serve, He calls us to do that with all of our hearts, knowing who we are. It's from the position of knowing who you are that you serve. You cannot truly serve anybody until you identify who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are in God. Protocol, what's protocol? Give honor to whom honor is due. But there comes a time when the honored does what seems to be dishonorable in the sight of people because of where he positions himself to serve. And I can assure you that he's not feeling less because it's not what he does or what he has that determines who he is. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he has or doesn't have. It's the same principle. It works in every setting. Be clean, because you are receiving the word of God. You are walking by the word of God. You are continuing in the word of God. And the word of God says, in that posture, you get to know the truth. And the truth that you know becomes the truth that sets you free. But you must know who you are. Let me wrap up, even though we have not covered as much as we possibly can. He says, "And ye are clean, but not all." Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. He knew who was going to betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." What is that statement about? The statement is about the fact that even though he had access and had been washed, that the cleansing had to do with the heart. With the heart, with the belief system. You can hear the word of God, and how true is it? It is that people hear the word of God, and one person hears the word of God and is freed, and the other person hears the word of God and says, I didn't understand anything the guy said. It's a heart issue. You can die on the vine. Have you seen a tree and the branch is dead, but the rest of the tree is alive? Still same tree. What happened? What happened to that branch that's now the leaves are withered? It's deceased. It's not receiving nourishment. There are people who do not receive the word of God. And you can tell these people many times, been around long enough to know. You know, they sit in the front row, and then they are in the fourth row, and then on the 10th row, and then on the 20th row, and then on the 30th row, they are in the back. You know they are on their way out. If you would go sit down with them and talk with them, I don't know what the pastor is talking about anymore. All they talk about is this, and all they talk about is you have all kinds of griping happening. The heart is blocked from receiving. They're hearing the same word. They should be cleansed by the word, but nothing. Nothing. Because the devil has come into their heart and convinced them about something. What will cause a Judas to betray Jesus? What? You have the money bag. The guy's not complaining. Why will you go and sell him out? There's got to be something that happened to your heart that made that possible. That's why we all have to have a heart check. When the enemy tries to seed something inside of you, don't just do like you've, you know, driving a fly off. Kill it. Amen. Get a swapper. Swap that thing. Kill it. No such thing. Kill that thing. I am not giving room for that. Pow! Dead. Kill it. The Bible says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, he was set down again and said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I did to you? You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. I am Master and I'm Lord. You're right. Battery dead. If I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Take care of each other.
For I have given you an example. that ye should do as I have done to you. Know who you are, get up, and serve each other. Help each other out. Make sure that each one of you are walking uprightly before me. Support each other. Don't be a lone ranger thinking you are it. No. I did this to show you what to do. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The Father sent me, the Father is greater. I'm here to serve the Father. No matter how anointed you are, you will never be greater than Jesus. Even though he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to be with the Father, you are still who you are. You're never going to be greater than Jesus. Amen? He sent you. And you must. This is a principle of life. If somebody sends you to do something for him, do what they said and report back to the one that sent you. Says, I came from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. Somebody sends you to go do something, you go do it, but you don't give a report. No, you have to give a report. The fact that you don't give a report is an act of pride and arrogance. It's not about how much did I get paid or didn't get paid. No, give a report. Sent me on an errand. Here it is. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Say, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You are happy if you know these things, right? You are happy if you do them. It is not just you are happy because you know them. You can know it and not be happy. Not everything that you know gets you to be happy. But this is what will cause your happiness, your joy, to come into a place of fullness. When you do them, even though when you started, you may not have been happy. But when you have finished it, it says, I did it. I didn't think I would be able to do it, but I did it. You're happy. And God is calling every one of us to come to that place of the doing, not just knowing. You're called to serve each other. Everybody knows that. But are you doing it? Are you serving? Are you serving? Oh, how am I going to serve? I don't know what to do. Do you see a need? Then ask if you can meet that need. You know, I was thinking about this just the other day, yesterday morning, I think. I was scanning through the worship team. Everyone has come at different times into the family. The longest serving saints in the worship team, I guess, will be Sister Lindsay and Elder Andre. But Kingsley came a few years ago. He was sitting down there. I didn't know that he could play the keyboard. I'm sure nobody else knew that he could play the keyboard until he showed up and said, I can play the keyboard. Because he saw a need and that he could serve in that capacity. So he stepped up. That's how we knew that he had the capacity to do what he does. Brother Isaac Ibukun is a saxophonist. Do you know how he became that? He's never played the saxophone ever in his life. Neither has he touched the saxophone. But he heard me preaching in a Sunday service like this. And I said, my favorite instrument is the saxophone. I love the sound of the saxophone. That's all he heard. He goes home, finds a pawn shop, buys a saxophone, and started playing. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. He was up playing. The desire to do something that will be a blessing released an anointing on his life to be able to play it. Look at this screen over here. Love it? Yeah? That was put together by somebody who's never put anything like that together before. The grace and anointing. Let me try this out. And starts working at it. And the structure is up. Do you know how much that would have cost us to do that? To put that thing up? If we went to some company to put that up for us? The labor alone? What's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is simple. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us when we have a love for God. God will give to us what we need to make it happen. He will touch, he will lay his hands on anybody who's willing to serve. First of all, Bezalel would never crafted, done anything with gold. All he was doing while he was in Egypt was putting bricks together. Well, because there was a willingness of heart to serve the vision of God. God granted him wisdom and all that he needed, put his spirit on him, and the guy duplicated what was in heaven and the earth. The willingness to serve. That's all we need. The willingness to serve. And when we've got it, because we love God and we love God's people to the end, we can accomplish anything we set our hearts to accomplish. The devil cannot stop us from doing it. Amen? It's just as simple as that. Somebody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Well, that's all I have to share with us at this point. I don't have a release to continue past this point. So that's where I'm going to start. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence, for your grace, for the sufficiency of your love. Lord, O God, help us not to be forgetful hearers of the word, but doers of the work. We surrender ourselves to you now and say, Lord, make of us that which is pleasing in your sight. The example that you've shown to us we embrace now. Give us opportunities to actualize by the demonstration of faith and by the actions that we take, the service needful to help each other fulfill the mandate you've called us to. Lord, whatever it is you've given to us for a purpose. May we use all that you've given to us to honor your name and see lives forever changed. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's a joy serving you again tonight. At this time, we will honor God with our givings. If you've not released the seed that God has placed in your hand as of yet, you may so do at this point. And the Lord multiply your seed sown. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, we gave out a card of the 8 blessings from the Lord. If you did not get one, we'll encourage you to get one. We've suggested that you sow something as an investment towards it. You know, whatever it is, you know, I don't care. You know, if you decide that you're going to sow 5 cents, that's your decision. You decide that you want to sow $10, that's your decision. If you decide you want to sow $1,000, that's your decision. I don't care. You know, I'm just saying, connect with it somehow by giving something. And neither I nor anyone else is going to be policing what you gave or did not give. That's your personal decision. All I'm encouraging you to do is not do anything. Because 0 times any number is still 0. And since that instruction has been given, just nobody put a figure behind it. Just do the needful and you'll be blessed for it. Amen? You understand? Okay. But please, for your own personal gain, don't just take one. I didn't say when you should give it. You can give it this week, you can give it next week, whenever you have something in your heart, you say, this is for that. Okay. All right? But don't just take it since I put that instruction, because then it backfires unnecessarily. You don't need that. Amen? If I just hand it over to you and say, yeah, this is yours, that's different. Okay? Well, praise the Lord. All right. Well, next gathering is next Wednesday. That'll be our Bible study. And then on Friday will be our time of prayer meeting. And the prayer meeting is not aired on YouTube or Facebook. You have to go on to Zoom to be able to participate in the prayer meeting. And so that's, I believe, all the instructions I need to share with you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Pat to come close in prayer.
I thank you, Father God, for your word. Father, let the word of God be quickened in our spirit. We thank you, Father God, that you will create a clean, whole heart within us. And Father God, that we may walk in your ways, being fruitful and pleasing in all that we do, Lord God. that you will, our lives will glorify you in all that we do. We thank you for this. We thank you for the service. Bless Pastor Zeno for the word. He listens to your voice and to what you want to be heard tonight. And we thank you for the word. It's strong. It quickens us and brings us much joy in our spirit and strengthens us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.